Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. News of the day across baseball. Former Astro Carlos Correa signed with the New York Mets. A ridiculous 12-year, $315 million deal. I guess it's not quite as ridiculous as the 13-year, $350 million deal that the Giants gave Correa. When we found out that the Giants gave Correa that deal, I said that move was dumb. I can't say the same with Steve Cohen and the Mets because I feel like they just don't care about the luxury tax or about sunk costs. At least now. And okay, if things go the way for the Mets that they've gone for Texas A&M this past season, then maybe Steve Cohen reevaluates how much money he really wants to put in to this baseball team. But I look at this from a this is good for baseball perspective. More owners across sports should be willing to go all in like this. More. It wins you all the brownie points. I think that Yankee fans would probably want to see the Steinbrenner family throw a little more money out. The other news today is that the Yankees, they introduced Aaron Judge as their new captain after announcing the contract that they gave to him. And discussing him in the last segment led to this text on the HRNP listener line. And it's a good question. Why do you all need to talk about the Yankees all the time? Do we have a problem? We've won the breakup. The Astros have beaten the Yankees in the playoffs in 2015, 2017, 2019, and now in 2022. They're also taking the beatings to the regular season. So why is it that we pay as much attention to the Yankees as we do? And part of it has to do with the fact that the Astros don't have a true arch rival. Another part of it has to do with the fact that they have been the most vocal team in the wake of the sign-stealing scandal to question what the Astros did. But I don't think there's anything wrong with being obsessed with a team that isn't yours and wanting to see them do poorly and making fun of everything that they do in whatever way that you can. I think that's good.
I mean, as a Patriots fan, didn't you make fun of Peyton Manning and the Colts?
Yes!
Every time?
All the time.
We're not talking about the Yankees like, oh my God, what? The Yankees, they're, what if they trade for Fernando Tatis? What?
It's no, not a
they
fear.
Just got Rondon. It's not even as we. They're literally, great. I just listed off a name of former captains, some of the highest Yankee honor you can get, and we just laughed at their stupid names and faces.
I think it's fun too to have a punching bag. You know, when in doubt, you can always punch down. People say you shouldn't punch down in comedy. People say you shouldn't punch down in life. No, punching down's the best. Because you don't get to punch down for very long in life, do you? That's generally not how it works. It's definitely not how it works in sports. I was lamenting to Sean earlier this week during the break, he brought up my Patriots fandom, that
I can't talk down to anybody anymore. And on top of that, we have Jacoby Myers throwing a pass across the field to Mac Jones, which gets intercepted by Chandler Jones and returned to the house for a touchdown, the worst play in NFL history. Like, it is officially over. I can't rub in people's faces that I'm a Patriots fan anymore. I can't. I can't do it. It's over. Officially, as of Sunday.
The Immaculate Lateral.
Yeah, the Immaculate, what the bleep was that? Yes, Sean. That play is insane. And I'm sorry I keep on going back to it, but you mentioned with Peyton Manning and the Colts. I used to make fun of John Harbaugh all the time because John Harbaugh would always whine about some rule that Bill Belichick would find to take advantage of over the course of a game, and then the competition committee would change it the next year. This happened like three times. It's fun to make fun of your little brothers until they can finally beat you up. And I don't think the Yankees are going to do that anytime soon. But I will admit, I am obsessed with the Yankees. I saw this tweet. It was, I believe, on Saturday. Astros fans are obsessed with the Yankees. Yankees fans are obsessed with the Astros. This is a never-ending cycle. Both of these fan bases live on my timeline arguing. And I was like, yeah. And I'm 100% admitting that I hate the Yankees, and I like trolling their fans. I have felt this way since I was just a kid. I don't like them. Grew up in the Northeast. That's a little bit of a part of it. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Eric the Driver says, I think we focus on the Yankees so much because we dominate them year after year while they struggle to catch up to us. Another text on the 832. Definitely talk about the Yankees way too much. You claim the Yankees get too much media coverage, yet here you are, always speaking on the Yankees. Actually, I don't complain about the coverage that they get. I don't. I get it. I get it. I think in certain situations when we're talking about the year that Aaron Judge had last season, that was over the top. But talking about the Astros' rival on a regular basis, I think it's fun conversation, especially if they do things like introduce a guy as a captain. 713-780-3776 to Colin to text in as well. This is an interesting question.
I will say we will stop talking about the, and we'll talk about the Astros' true rival more. We'll talk more about the Texas Rangers.
Oh, I
so much Rangers talk coming for you this offseason.
Hell yeah, dude. Mariners talk? Huh?
Little Angels action.
I think people get frustrated with my Mariners talk, though, because then they start to think that I'm a bandwagoner.
Yeah, that's
which is true. I am. Like, I am actually a bandwagoner.
You cannot contain your love for Robbie Ray's tight pants.
You know, the Astros' true rival is the Houston Texans. Everyone's been saying it for years and years. You know, the Texans used to think that they were like the creme de la creme of Houston, and they were very cocky about it behind closed doors. Like, people in important positions in the Texans were like, well, look at our season ticket numbers. People are always going to care about this team. And look where we are now. Kind of funny. Again, you can only punch down for so long. You can only punch down at the Astros and joining the American League or the Rockets with Luis Scola as their best player for so long. This question is going to bring us into our next conversation with Greg Rosenthal of the NFL Network. If the Texans waited till the Browns pick or round two for a quarterback, who would you want them to draft? Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, or Max Duggan? Hendon Hooker. I know he's older, but I feel like there's more to work with there. I think with Duggan, Duggan is like the second coming of Andy Dalton. Is he not? Doesn't he even have red hair? Yeah, he's Andy Dalton 2.0, which is nothing wrong with that, by the way. I would take Andy Dalton. I would take Andy Dalton over. I would take anything over what they currently have. Will Levis, I'm out. I'm so out on it. Maybe this is the next Josh Allen, but my God, I've had a hard time watching him this year. 713-780-3776 to call or text. How has Nick Caserio done as general manager, and does he have to draft a quarterback in this upcoming draft? Greg Rosenthal, the NFL Network, will join us to talk about that and more next. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
And joining me right now on the HRNP guest hotline, a man who hosts the Around the NFL podcast, which I believe to be the best NFL podcast on the internet, I think, in the last decade as well. And the guy who also you can catch on the NFL Network, the one and only Greg Rosenthal. Greg, it's good to hear from you. We wanted to have you on earlier this year. The problem has been that there is a general dislike of the NFL in Houston because of the Houston Texans' performance this year, last year, and honestly, Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby, Deshaun Watson. I don't know. We could go on for a while on that front.
Yeah, it's sad, too, because Houston has such good fans. I don't think people around the country think of Houston immediately when you think of great football towns, but I always do because that stadium was always packed out no matter what the Texans were doing, but they have really tried their best to scare away fans the last 3 years.
I'm not sure what they can do next. There are some somewhat similar vibes to where we were last season at the end of David Culley. David Culley's Texans did play well against the Tennessee Titans towards the end of the year, the eventual AFC one seed. They did beat the Los Angeles Chargers. The last 2 weeks, you've seen the Texans, I guess, cover the spread. I know that there was a report that came out from Adam Schefter earlier this week where the NFL sent a memo out to all teams showing how much money they are spending on coaches who are no longer with the team, front office members who are no longer with the team. And long way of asking, can the Texans fire Lovie Smith after this season? Optics-wise, I suppose things can't possibly get any worse, but if they fire another African-American head coach after just one season, I feel like they are once again going to get absolutely ragdolled by the national NFL cognoscenti.
Yeah, they will, but we've seen owners can do whatever they want. We've seen it in Houston on some level, but we've seen it much more dramatically in places like Washington, Dallas in different ways. I think if they want to fire Lovie Smith, they will. They won't worry about the money. I mean, that money is relatively small compared to when you sign, let's say, like a bad defensive end free agent that doesn't work out. So I don't think it's a money thing. I do think it's embarrassing for the franchise. And I do think you have to question Nick Caserio's future, too, if only because he will literally be the first GM in NFL history to get to hire three head coaches in 3 years with absolutely no record of success. So if you want to say it doesn't make sense to start all over in the front office, like I could hear that argument, but what they're letting Caserio do, which is completely swing and miss on his first two head coaches, is literally unprecedented in the league. I went looking for it. Never happened before.
Well, that's bad. So, hey, can't only go up from here. Goodness.
They are
gracious.
Playing better. I think they might win this week. I'm picking the Texans this week. I have not picked them once in 15 weeks, and I am breaking that streak in the 16th week against who I expect it to be Malik Willis in Tennessee.
Are you going to lock him up?
No, I'm definitely not doing that. I'm not feeling too good even picking them, because I'm competitive. But I really do think they're playing better football than the Titans, who are just falling apart.
Greg, that game I watched between the Texans and Titans earlier this year, where Malik Willis was under center for Tennessee and Davis Mills was struggling, I actually got up and just walked around the stadium just forlorn for about a quarter. And I figured, okay, I'll miss something. And I got back and nothing had actually happened in the game. That was one of the worst moments of covering NFL football that I feel like I've had. But to bring it back to going forward, you mentioned Nick Caserio. I really wonder what they're supposed to do with that first overall pick. I know a lot of people are pointing to Bryce Young or a quarterback. And, you know, one of the tricky things where you're an organization that has lost as much collective interest as the Texans have over the last couple of years, and you don't really have anything even to get excited about. I can understand why they might draft the best quarterback, at least per the eyes of many, just for the fact that they would like to have some people get excited about the team next year. And there's a part of me that's wondering if that's something that they should do. Say Bryce Young doesn't work out, a smaller guy, smaller frame, even if he has looked really good at Alabama. I know we always get the conversation about, like, hey, you got to take the best guy on your draft board. I really wonder about the idea of taking a quarterback with that first overall pick.
I don't, because you just don't know when you're going to be in this situation. The Texans were telling all their friends in the media, it wasn't really too hard to figure it out, that they thought they'd be a lot better than this year. I think before the season, they thought they were going to win 7 or 8 games this year. I kind of bought in that they would win 6 or something like that. So you don't know when you're going to be here again, and I'm of the mind you should take a quarterback every year. I liked what the Patriots did when they had Tom Brady and took a lot of second and third round quarterbacks, even though they had Tom Brady, because quarterbacks are worth that much. I think it's why Davis Mills was a good pick at the top of the third round. He's going to end up being a good long-term backup. But I think you're at the number one spot. There's two good candidates to take it. I wouldn't, no matter who's the GM, no matter who's the coach, I wouldn't think too hard about it. I do think you take a quarterback for that. Even if it's a 50-50 chance, he's a true franchise guy. I mean, that is more than worth it.
I would like that, especially so what I have resorted to doing when the Texans are on the road, Greg, is I'm putting the NFL Red Zone on the big TV that I have in my room, and on the smaller TV, I'm putting the Texans game on. And I remember on Sunday, and a couple of weeks ago, when the Texans-Cowboys game, looking up, and I'm like, wait, why is Jeff Driskel in the game? I don't know what's going on. I turned the audio back on, and I think that broadcaster was trying to figure out why Jeff Driskel was in the game. And then Davis Mills was lined up at wide receiver. Yeah, I'll take any quarterback over this two-quarterback tandem bicycle that the Texans have been rolling out.
Although, you know what? It's kind of worked with Driskel. And you know, Mills is fine. I thought maybe he could be better than he's been this year. But he's an NFL quarterback, and like honestly, a 10-year career as a quality backup, which I think is his baseline, is better than most third round quarterbacks. But yeah, they've seen enough of him as a potential starter, and yeah, get the fans excited about something. I feel bad for them.
Thank you. We're having a hard time here, but let's take a look at the rest of the AFC South. Greg Rosenthal of the NFL Network, the Around the NFL podcast. The Jaguars seem to be on a roll to the point where they could maybe overtake Tennessee in the AFC South. Things are definitely looking up for them. I'm intrigued by Tennessee and Indianapolis right now, though. What's going on with Indy with Jeff Saturday stepping in is definitely different. That's for sure. But what seems to be happening with Tennessee right now, a complete collapse, does have me wondering long-term about the future of the team. I think Vrabel is going to stay, but do you think that Tennessee is going to be back in the cellar with Houston perhaps as soon as next year?
Wow. No, because they're never a team that's going to try to bottom out. They certainly have some contracts that they would like to get off their books, guys like Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan, and so they'll refresh. But I don't think their drafts have been that bad if you look at their young players this year especially. I think they have a good coach. I think Tannehill's contract works for one more year. And so, to me, they'll try as hard as they can to stay in the middle, and I don't see any huge reason why they wouldn't. I also don't know if Jacksonville is going to win this game here this week. I think almost, however you shake it up, we're probably getting Jags-Titans Week 18 to win the division, and that very well could be the Sunday night season finale, because the NBC likes it that way when it's like one in, one out as the last game.
I like that. That would be fun, because there will be a lot of people who would get very mad about that being the Sunday night game online. But I like AFC South National Football games. The Jets and the Jaguars, that's the game that's taking place tomorrow. So we will see what happens in that one, with Zach Wilson probably back out under center. Mike White was ruled out in that game. So we talked about Tennessee for just a moment. And what are your vibes on why they got rid of John Robinson? I know that when it happened, everyone was pretty surprised, and it seemed rather radio silent from the people that traditionally you expect to be in Camp Vrabel when it comes to reporting. You didn't get a whole lot of anything. And I looked at that moment in time, and we had been having conversations about, like, where would the Texans be right now, say Mike Vrabel was still the head coach, if they had decided to move on from Bill O'Brien all the way back in 2017. And now Vrabel, at least my read on it without having any inside information, is that this was a Vrabel coup d'etat. Is that something that you have heard, or is still everything radio silent on that front?
It's been radio silent, but that almost makes me feel even more that you have the right read on it, just because I think Vrabel respects John Robinson. They go back a long ways. He spoke about him publicly very glowingly and said it talked about talking to him. And I think it was just a business thing. I don't think there was more than anything to it, but I think Mike Vrabel wanted more control. I don't know if he has an idea of who in the front office he wants to be the head personnel guy. He probably does. It's just got to be a little more like a Pete Carroll, John Schneider situation, which can work. Pete Carroll's really not incredibly involved with personnel, but has his say. But he's certainly the guy who's in charge of the franchise. And I think that's what will happen in Tennessee. And, you know, they have a good reputation in terms of Amy Adams Strunk. Since he took over in Tennessee as a pretty clear-thinking executive and one of the better, I guess you could call it younger owners, newer owners in the league. So I'm actually bullish on the Titans long term. You can't go over 500 for five straight years without doing a lot right.
And that's why it's so surprising that they did move on from John Robinson. So we did mention the Jaguars. We mentioned the Titans. The Indianapolis Colts are going to have to look at other candidates due to the NFL's Rooney Rule, which does seem to be looked at very often as a joke by those who are in hiring roles, of course, across the league. Jeff Saturday, has he done, I think, anything that would make Indianapolis feel like he's not the guy next year? Because it does feel like they're just going to bring in coaches that fill out the criteria, if you will, this offseason. And I don't know that Saturday's done a particularly good job. I know what we saw from him against Minnesota on Saturday was a nice start, but that's the worst collapse in NFL history.
Yeah, I mean, he's kept them playing hard and competitive right up until the point they give up 33 points in a quarter or whatever it was back-to-back weeks. They did that against the Cowboys, too. I was thinking the same as you, Paul, like through three quarters of that game last week. I was like, oh, wow, Jeff Saturday is really going to keep this job. They'll probably win one more of their three games, something like that. He'll end up 3-4, 3-5. That'll be enough. I don't know. After that loss, if the next 3 weeks don't go well, I would kind of bet against him coming back next year. That's a tough one to wear. And there has been some kind of buzz around Indianapolis of Ursay talking to the reporters and saying that you have to, you know, look beyond the everyday candidates, kind of hinting at college especially. So my guess is Jim Irsay is as emotional as it gets, and he's emotionally gone through the ringer with two straight, you know, island games that have been embarrassing. He has another one coming up on Monday night. And I kind of guess he's going to change, and he's going to pick someone random and surprising probably from the college ranks, because he's Jim Irsay and he does surprising things.
Yeah, like sometimes hold press conferences from a golf cart while ripping a heater. Yeah, I would like some more of that, perhaps, for the next press conference that he introduces a head coach with. Greg Rosenthal, the Around the NFL podcast, and, of course, the NFL Network, at Greg with two G's Rosenthal on Twitter. Greg, thanks for your time. Let's check in again before the playoffs begin, and you have yourself a wonderful holidays, man.
Thanks, Paul. You too. See ya.
That is Greg Rosenthal, everybody. Love Greg. Love the Around the NFL podcast. You're not listening to that, I don't know what you're doing. It's fantastic. Fun look at football. That's the way it's supposed to be. Coming up next on the Paul Gallant Show, we're still taking a look at the Carlos Correa contract with the New York Mets. Are you at all envious of what the New York Mets are capable of doing? Do you think that this maybe changes Jim Crane's mind next offseason as far as how he operates with the Astros and his purse? Man bag, satchel, going forward. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. I did ask the question on Twitter, at Gallant Says, for today's Paul Gallant Show. Is it good for baseball that Steve Cohen doesn't care about the luxury tax? And are you a little jelly? Maybe you're not an Astros fan. Maybe you're a fan of another team listening right now, and you're like, I wish that my team was willing to spend $300-plus million on a player every offseason.
it is something I think we all assume that the New York Yankees used to do, and that's actually not really the case. Couple of responses. Roberto says that Carlos Correa is going to be fine. There's lots of good Puerto Rican restaurants in New York City, and Daniela will be okay as well. But where are they going to go to see movies? Are movie theaters still open in New York City? Seems like they go to the movies a lot. That's a thing I barely do anymore these days. When's the last time, Sean, that you went to a movie?
Pretty recent. Oh, for Black Panther.
Oh, you went to see Black Panther?
Yeah, the two. Wakanda Forever.
What would you give it? A through F. Grade. And let's
A through F?
A through F. We're grading on the Paul Gallant A. Like, if it's a B, that means it was really good. That means that you would recommend it to pay $20 to watch it.
I'd say it's like probably a B minus.
Okay. B minus.
Yeah.
It feels like a safe grade to give.
It was pretty good, but it wasn't like awesome. It was pretty good.
I would give it an F because the Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman, RIP, wasn't in the movie.
That it really holds it back.
I mean, I would assume it would. I mean, it's hard to make a movie where you're making a tribute to someone who passed away and have to find a way to honor him. Like, I don't think it possibly could have been good.
They do a good job where there's parts of the movies where it just seems like it is like the actual Chadwick Boseman funeral. Like, it's not just the Black Panther funeral. It's the
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I will say, though, the odds of them piggybacking off of having the great villain in Killmonger that they had, that I imagine was not going to happen.
The new villain's pretty good.
He's pretty good?
He's pretty good.
Okay, well, maybe I'll watch it now. Yeah. Now I'm intrigued. I heard the new villain kind of sucks. Anyway,
really?
Sorry. I don't want to turn this
racist
into Marvel. But what?
Because he's Mexican? He sucks?
No, he's not Michael B. Jordan. They should have brought Michael B. Jordan back from the dead. They bring back dead characters all the time.
Them killing Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
Real mistake in Black Panther.
Big time mistake. Other comments on Twitter. October choking Dodgers and Yankee fans will be pissed when Astros Mets are in the 2023 World Series. Hashtag Mets Twitter. Huh. Interesting. Person from Mets Twitter, and also this person tweeted a meme of Kyle Rittenhouse to me as part of that, so that's something. What else do we have on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston? Good for him, good for the Mets. Economy is strong. Spend the money. Wait a second. What is going on with this tweet? This tweet became political for reasons that I can't really understand. Elon Musk is a giant turd. Hashtag indict Trump now. What does that have to do? What does that have to do with the Astros? What does that have to do with the Mets? Good for the Mets. Economy is strong. Elon Musk is a giant turd. That's an actual tweet I got. Okay. Interesting. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text into. You can tweet me as well. It's Hey Angel on the Twitch comments. Paul hates Mexicans confirmed. Hey. Just I don't even know what the villain looks like in Black Panther. Chadwick Boseman's passed away and we're still trying to steal your money. Because that's what it is. It's a shameless cash grab. Like I'm out on Marvel. I'm done. I'm out on Marvel. I'm not watching anymore.
Didn't you just say that you're going to give Black Panther 2
a chance? Yep, I realized that was foolish. It was a foolish thought to share.
It's a movie full of black people and Mexicans. That's why you won't watch it.
No, it's not. I mean, the whole Marvel franchise.
You were going to watch it. Then I said the main villain's Mexican.
I didn't know.
You're like, I'm out.
I wasn't going to watch it. No, there's too many now. Like, She-Hulk, spare me. Oh, Paul hates women. No, it has nothing to do with that either. But Moon Knight was where I was like, okay, let's slow down. There's too many of these shows. I don't care about this person. What, Jon Snow's going to be an Avenger or something like that too in the near future? No. Out. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. Sorry, this has turned into superhero talk. Speaking of superheroes, Carlos Correa is a superhero. Am I right? And he did sign that deal with the New York Mets. That's a massive contract. still, especially if they got in at the last minute because the Giants had cold feet due to injury issues. Well, the Mets had to have known that the Giants got cold feet. They didn't get cold feet either. They were like, no, we're even more in. They did get him, I guess, at a one-year discount.
I saw something. I assume that's just what the Mets offer was before he took the Giants offer. I would just assume that the offer was just still on the table. But from Susan Slusher? Slusher?
Slusher.
There's no H.
Schlesinger.
She says, it sounds as if there's an old Correa injury pre-MLB that was raised as a potential issue. Is not cropped up again. None of Correa's other physical issues have required medical intervention.
You know, this could have been the Giants trying to make it look like they gave it their all without actually having to spend any money. Wouldn't that be a great conspiracy?
Yeah, if this was a true medical concern, it sounds a little tedious. And if it was a matter of cold feet, that's usually ownership, not the front office. We won't know what happens until the Giants discuss this, if they ever do.
It sounds like cold feet.
Yeah, it sounds like
that. I mean, it sounds like the owners were like, wait, what? Hang on. Hey, people die. We can't give a guy a 13-year contract. People die all the time. What happens if he dies? Like, that's the kind of logic behind it. He was born. He could get COVID. He could get cancer. We don't know. It's possible for anybody. And to have this where they were in on Aaron Judge but didn't get him, and then they were in on Carlos Correa and said, oh, wait a second. I don't know. This could also be, and this is something that happens a lot in sports, where you will hear a general manager or ownership group say that they were in on a potential free agent, and then they don't actually get the free agent. That is something to wonder about. And you'll never get the truth because these owners for baseball teams hide. They never put themselves out in the open. Like Steve Cohen and Jim Crane are exceptions. For the most part, these guys just hide behind a wall for the majority of the year. Like, shoot, we don't even know which Steinbrenner is running the show. We're pretty sure it's Hal. Hank passed away, so it would be kind of weird if he was running it. But those are the only two guys that are really out and talking about their teams a lot.
I mean, literally in the tweet where I said it's a ownership issue, we did not say the name of the owner of the Giants.
That's strange. Yeah, okay. So this might be just as much the Giants being a bunch of cheaps as much as Steve Cohen. Yeah, but Cohen deserves credit, guys. This is a great move. I think more owners should get credit when they do this. Even if it blows up in the Mets' face, and their history says it will, even if it blows up, I think you should give the guy credit for it. I like it. I don't feel great about a series against the Mets in the World Series. I wasn't really feeling great about a series against the Mets in the World Series as it was going into this postseason. We'll see what happens, but definitely got to have them as a front runner. Why is everyone asking me for movie reviews all of a sudden right now? 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. New Avatar movie, B+. Sure it was. Did you see that Edie Falco, who's in that movie, famously plays Tony Soprano's wife, Carmella?
Oh, not in the movie. I thought you were going to say
that would be awesome.
She plays Carmella Soprano in Avatar.
Carmella Soprano is so sad over the, spoiler alert, Tony passing away at the end of The Sopranos, which is how many people interpret the ending of The Sopranos. Jeez. She's so bummed out that she decides to get on a spaceship to join all these weird-ass blue people and live in the jungle. I'm sorry. The original Avatar was like a B-. It was solid. The special effects were great. It was every single, hey, human being goes into the wild and becomes one with the natives. It's Dancing with Wolves. Are we going to act like it's original because the entire movie was shot in CGI? Please.
That's my biggest thing, is that the first one was so big because it, like, no other movie looked like that movie.
And because James Cameron was basically giving himself a you-know-what in front of everybody, talking about, yeah, we're spending so much money, and we're putting so much into this universe.
But now, like, like we were just talking about Marvel. Every Marvel movie is filmed on a green screen. Half the Marvel movies take place in space.
It's like a shame.
I feel like it won't hit the same because it's like we're kind of used to all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
I guess this one's underwater, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Way of the Water. But so is Black Panther 2. Half of that's underwater.
Oh.
Spoiler. Not really.
Underwater? The next frontier, I guess. Yeah, someone on the Twitch was like, yeah, this is Fern Gully. Yep.
It really is. It really is. Like, Avatar, has the least, I don't even know, the plot that surprises you the least. Like, it's just like, oh, I bet this gonna happen. It happens.
It happened, right. Look at me. I'm riding a dragon. This isn't real.
He's going to fall in love with the Force. Oh, he falls in love with the Force.
One last rant on movies, Sean, because people want my movie takes now all of a sudden. Did you see the trailer for the new Indiana Jones movie that's coming out soon?
Yes, I did.
The entire thing is CGI. The entire thing. Like, all of it. And I get it. Harrison Ford's what, like 100 years old? Give or take?
I think he's 80, but yeah.
Same thing.
Give or take 20 years.
People got mad at me earlier. Like, Paul probably thinks people in their 50s or in their 80s. No. Like, Harrison Ford looks old these days, right? Okay? Harrison Ford is, like, constantly in front of a green screen in this movie. And that's what made the original Indiana Jones movie so awesome, is that none of it was in front of a green screen. It was all live action. All of it. It was sick. It still holds up. That's what happens when you do real special effects. It actually holds up.
Like Tom Cruise. You got to actually jump out of the plane.
Speaking of Tom Cruise, coming up next in Garbage Time. I've said this once. I'll say it again. As far as actors go, Tom Cruise is pound for pound the best athlete there is. I'll explain why next. And UT, big day. He's finally here. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're celebrating Christmas early. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5's season of giving. Today is our mystery grab bag day. Ooh! We're giving away various gift cards to Cypress Trail Hideout, Orleans Seafood Kitchen, Car is the Watch, and 100 Lot 18. Loft 18. Caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. You win a gift card to one of the four mystery locations. Tune in all December long for our season of giving. And don't forget to join us this Friday, December 23rd, for our annual Christmas party. Don't let the cold keep you from the party. It is going to be cold. We'll be broadcasting indoors from Nick's place all day. So, guess what, guys? Arch Manning, he's coming to UT, He has officially signed with the Longhorns today. 6'4", 220 pounds, really good in high school, committed to Texas in June over Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Clemson, and Virginia. I am very curious as to what's next for Quinn Ewers. Because Quinn had a couple of great moments this season where you saw he's got some real potential if he can work on specifically his footwork and his accuracy. His accuracy as the season progressed, especially against top 25 teams, was like, I think, 48%. Not good. Some are, wondering what happens with him after this season, where they will play, of course, UT, UW at the end of the year. Is he the de facto starting quarterback going into next season? Does Arch Manning get a chance to compete with who will be sophomore in yours? I'm curious. It's going to be fun. We'll see what happens.
But Arch Manning officially at UT. What else do we have? Before we hit the road, I also wanted to touch on this really quickly. I'm curious if you think this should have happened. So last week, the National Defense Authorization Act closed a loophole that allowed service academy athletes from deferring their 5 years of service in order to play professional sports. And it's because there is a player for Army who will likely be taken in the first two rounds, Andre Carter II. And he was bummed out because he thought he wasn't going to be allowed to be drafted, despite being probably like the highest in the future draft pick that played football at Army ever. He's going to be at the Senior Bowl, and on top of the Senior Bowl, most draft analysts expect him to be taken the first two rounds of the draft, blah, 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 blah. But the government has changed its mind, and they've actually said that he is going to be allowed to defer that 5 years. It's only going to apply this new policy where you can't defer your service. It's only going to apply to people who joined the U.S. Military Academy, the Naval Academy, or the Air Force on or after June 1st of 2021. I believe that both Roger Staubach and David Robinson served in the Navy before they ultimately played. When you make a commitment to something like this, I get that you're going to be able to make life-changing money, and you probably never expected that when you first started playing for Army, but should you be allowed to do that? And I'll honestly leave that up to you. It's life-changing money, and I am someone that feels that the people who fight for our country deserve a ton of respect for having the balls to go do that, whether or not that's the only option. Hey, like, that's a great way to potentially get an education, assuming you're able to make it back. You might get treated like crap along the way, and you might come back with some real scars, and you worry about people that go through those situations. But if you make a commitment, aren't you supposed to honor the commitment on that front? Just food for thought as we hit the road. I honestly don't know what the right answer is for there. I'm happy that he's going to be able to earn his money and make that money for his family before his potential service time. Who knows where he might be serving, I guess, after he were to play in the NFL, but it is expected that he'll be drafted. Anyway, let's wrap things up with garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
We all agree that Tom Cruise is weird, right? We all agree that he is a strange, strange man.
Possibly have done some bad things in the name of Scientology.
Yes. Do we separate the art from the artist? I don't know. Here's what I will say about Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is perhaps the ballsiest actor that there is, because Cruise does all of his stunts for the most part. I'm sure that there's a couple that he doesn't do, but in the upcoming Mission Impossible movie, he has driven a motorcycle directly off a cliff 6 times in what is being called the biggest stunt in cinema history. And I guess on top of that, he has done 500 skydives for the perfect shot. So they are just going over and over and over again doing this. Look, crazy person. The stunts that he has done over the course of his career, I think, though, should have him looked at as half athlete, half actor. I think when you are putting your body through that on a regular basis, when you have no reason to, you're Tom Cruise, maybe you have a death wish or something like that, I think he deserves your applause. I do. And honestly, I any Tom Cruise movie, I'm going to watch it. I'll admit that. Top Gun Maverick was amazing. The last Mission Impossible movie was also amazing. Might have been the best one.
I will say that I won't watch any Tom Cruise movie, but I'll watch every Mission Impossible movie that he makes.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Some of the other stuff.
Like what? Which one did you not like?
Just like any of the non-action movies he's made in the last 20 years.
Okay. We have to think about that. We might talk about that tomorrow. We're going to have a wacky show tomorrow. Appreciate y'all sticking around for today's show. That was Sean Mapes behind the glass. Our callers, our texters, our tweeters, and of course, our beloved Twitchers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham are up next. Until tomorrow at 10. See ya!
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.